Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 223, The Girl on the Train.
There's a lot of trains.
There's a lot of trains. Not like porno trains.
Nope. Nope. Just regular Amtrak.
Just regular old...
Yeah. Those were Amtrak, right?
Choo-choos.
Choo-choos. Right? Those were Amtraks.
And they would almost have to be.
There's nothing else out there.
I mean, are there other trains out there? Like, train companies? I honestly don't know. I mean, maybe like rail companies, you know what I mean? But yeah. Commercial...
Oh, probably. Trains? Yeah, it's true.
Even other than like public, like transport.
I feel like Amtrak's the only one. And I guess I didn't realize that people took in New York took the train from. I figured, absolutely. I figured it was the subway.
Yeah.
No. You've got.
I think it's like if you live further out, like coming from
Connecticut or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. I actually was there once and took the train into the city, and it was exactly like that. And it's a long.
Because you saw it on Mad Men. He would take the train.
Oh, that's true. He did take the train.
The one guy would take the train to Connecticut.
Yeah, if if you don't live within, you know, the city itself, which, I mean, you know.
Who can afford that?
Well, I mean, that's why I, you know, Jersey and Brooklyn, and you got these areas. I mean, even the meatpacking district now, which, I mean, it was the meatpacking district, right?
I would just like to point out the restraint I'm having.
You and me both,
for you,
man.
Not making a meatpacking joke.
You and me both.
You're welcome. This is the effect you have on the show. You're sucking all the comedy out of it.
Is it comedy?
No, it is. But speaking of sucking.
So these areas.
About this meat packer.
Yeah. But, you know, these areas, like, you know, you run out of city, so new areas get developed and you still have people living in the city. It hasn't gotten cheaper.
Sure.
It's cheaper than like
living in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, still you've got all these beautiful, amazing neighborhoods on the outskirts and everybody just takes the train and, you know, but it's a long, long train ride.
Commute.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Here's the question I have.
You get a lot of reading
hour.
Done.
Yeah. I mean, it's like an hour. You can anticipate like an hour.
All right.
Like I think it
both ways.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's
so an hour in, hour out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're not driving.
Yeah.
You're not driving.
True. You're just chilling
out.
You can get
work done. Yeah, but because if you were to drive it,
that would suck.
And it would be way longer.
Do you think they get to work fewer hours because you can get work done on the train? I think people are like, oh, I'm cutting out at three. It's okay because.
I don't know.
Man, so you get home at like 6? You leave it. You have to leave at like 6. 6 in the morning and then you leave at 6 at night. That sucks.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Have we ever done back-to-back movies that featured the same actor or actress? Has that ever happened?
I don't know. I haven't been keeping score.
It's happening now. Yeah. The girl in this, the girl, the blonde, is the girl from Magnificent Seven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where in that one where, you know, you barely see, you know, they're trying really hard to not show her nipples.
Yeah.
This one, they just do it. They just decide to hell with it.
Oh, wait, we didn't do War Dogs, did we?
No.
Okay, because the girl
in
War...
Is she in
that, too? No, the girl in War Dogs was in, like, something the next week.
Oh.
You know what? I don't think we covered either movie. I think the girl in War Dogs ended up in that pretty lousy boxing movie with De Niro.
The Hands of Stone?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, okay. we still haven't introduced ourselves, so let's do that.
All right, this is Dan.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. Let's tackle the movie.
Yeah, so we're first introduced to Nick and Amy. No, wait. This is a different movie than Gone Girl. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like we should say, like we said in the Gone Girl episode, obviously you know what you're getting into when you listen to this the show, but this one, there's lots of twists and turns.
In some movies, you're like, oh, the you know, the good guys won.
Right.
How shocking, you know? But there's a lot of twists and turns in
right.
this
movie. So if you haven't read the book or you haven't seen the movie and you want to be surprised, stop, hit pause.
Or Gone Girl.
Maybe or Gone Girl.
Ruin that again for, for someone else.
We don't mind.
She's not dead.
We're not above it.
So, yeah, go pause it here. Go read or watch, whatever you choose, and then come on back and give us a listen. So, we're introduced to Rachel, played by Emily Blunt, who, now, have you read the book, Dan?
No.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay. So, that book is all based on her inner monologue.
Yeah.
Annie's inner monologue and the other one. What's the other one's name? The other girl. This is a
Rachel
very
Megan.
Yeah,
maybe
Megan.
Okay,
that sounds right.
So it's a very that the book is a very woman central book because you have three women with all of these different stories who are kind of slowly starting to like two
converge.
Rachel and Anne have already converged. At the same time, you've got Megan who's on the outskirts. So a lot of that book is done through narration. And what I will say about this one, they do a pretty good job of delivering the story without having narration, with the exception of
really?
Emily.
I felt like there was
well, with the exception of Emily Blunt, who has like two or three 5-minute monologues.
Right.
I feel like they did a pretty good job of getting all of the information out there.
I think they made a stab at doing that, you know, by having the sort of the title cards for each of the characters
and
some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a little bit of it.
Yeah,
but it was predominantly Rachel's.
Yes, for the most part, you're focused on Rachel.
Yeah,
played by Emily Blunt, who
she's great.
She was
she does all the heavy lifting.
She does all the heavy lifting. You've also got Laura Prepon, who shows up as her roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't the woman we're talking about who plays Megan was in The Magnificent Seven a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
and I feel like I know the other gal who played Anne. Like she's one of those actresses that pops up. Every once in a while.
Yeah.
You've got Luke Evans, who I'm a big fan of. I like that guy a lot. He doesn't.
Is that Rebecca Ferguson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Luke Evans plays Megan's husband, and then you've got Josh? Josh Trudeau? Mr. Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Who plays the other husband of Anne and the ex husband of Rachel. So. Tom is his name.
Oh,
not you.
And then there's a therapist, Dr. Red Herring.
Yes.
That's very good. Who was in Hands of Stone?
Ah.
He's the boxer in Hands of Stone.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
How about that?
There you go.
Dr. Herring.
Dr. Herring.
Red.
Calling Dr. Herring. Dr. Red Herring. So the whole thing is Rachel rides this train to and from the city to her job, quote unquote. And she rides by this house and she always sees like this perfect couple, who from the outsider looking in, they're both very attractive. They have like this perfect little life.
They like to,
have sex everywhere.
And he likes to cut lumber.
Yeah.
Because she likes to stand on a balcony with her yayas out while he cuts wood.
Yep, that's what they do.
Not a euphemism.
Yeah, he literally chops wood.
I'm like, well, I want to know what jobs they have that this is how they start their morning every day.
Oh, I'm going to go out and chop some wood.
Oh, man, those logs need so much chopping. So she's, you know, we're getting her narration. And initially, you don't know that Rachel is a drunk because it's all right. everything is done through a voiceover.
Yes.
And she sounds completely
she's not drunk
sober.
In her voiceover.
Yeah, she sounds completely sober. And then a woman comes to sit down next to her with this baby, and as soon as she opens her mouth, you're wow. like, oh,
yeah.
man, you are drunk. Lit. You yeah, are a drunk.
Empty, like, airplane bottles on her lap.
Right, know. Right. And what I will say in the book, this is one of those ones, like Gone Girl, where there's, for the most part, they follow the beats of the book almost
yeah, I thought it
perfectly.
Was very faithful.
Yeah. They kind of tell you immediately in the book that she has a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, it's not super deep into the movie
not.
That you find out, but like, oh, yeah.
You mean
no, it takes a moment because like she's got in her head, there's clarity, but you know, at this point in the movie, when she's describing what she sees, so the first house, she's got the idyllic couple, like later you realize, is she right in her like
right.
like her description or her vision of what she's like is what she's
I think what makes this movie so difficult to adapt from the book is it's your classic unreliable narrator.
It's exactly
like
yes.
you don't know like so you don't know that what she's telling you is accurate and the whole book and movie hinges around her unreliableness.
Correct.
Because she thinks she's not sure if she killed a person.
Right.
Right.
So
right. And I will say Gone Girl is exactly the same, but that is handled expertly by David Fincher.
Yes. He was the right guy for that movie.
Yeah. This one feels, it feels like the David Fincher's, what's the word for the person in a play who is like the backup to the main actress?
Understudy.
I think it has a lot of the same musical cues that tries to copy what Reznor did. Oh wait, yeah, maybe he didn't sure. do.
No, he did.
Did he do
he
Gone
did.
Girl?
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, and Atticus Ross.
Yeah,
it has the same color tone, like mm-hmm. color scheme.
But you know, like at the end of the day, like the book is a poor man's Gone Girl.
I would agree.
Exactly. That's
poor,
what I
would agree.
Lady's Gone Girl.
Yeah.
And so why wouldn't the movie be? This movie is just so interminably slow.
It is slow. I actually enjoyed it.
I'm like,
I didn't
well, this
mind
is
it.
A Lifetime movie with good actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like and you know, with bankable stars.
Yeah, and there's
it's
some
a Lifetime movie,
and there's some violence where I was like, "Well, that's Fincher too."
Well, like, yeah, there was a couple. Like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. So she's on the train and she sees, you know, and she keeps looking back at this other house, mm-hmm. and she's, you know, in her head, she's like, "I try not to look at it, but I look at it every time."
Yeah.
So she like as our story is progressing, we know that Rachel was married to Tom, and they kind of.
The other house.
The other house where Tom...
What, three houses down?
Two
houses
door.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom ends up having an affair with a woman that I guess that he worked with. They don't really say how they met.
The realtor.
Oh, that's right. It is the realtor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, she ends up... Rachel... It turns out Rachel cannot have children. So she begins to drink because of that. Now, I read a review online where it said they don't explain... Like her drinking problem, like they don't know, they don't tell you why. But I was like, they do tell you.
Well,
they
kind of
they say that it starts when she finds out she can't have children, and then it was like one glass of wine turns into two turns into three, and then
there's something this movie does that I'm kind of like, well, but I also think like you don't need. A clear cut like catalyst for
that made her.
Right. Well, I completely
like,
agree.
Yeah,
nothing made her.
You don't have to. You can just be
an alcoholic.
Yeah, sometimes that just
happens.
Happens.
Yeah, and it's just
sometimes people just start
circumstances.
Drinking.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes just start smoking meth.
Like we saw. Well, we see. I mean,
that one's for you, RB Ives.
I think we get enough of like, well, you know.
She's a wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a hot mess.
Yeah. Right. So she's constantly calling Tom, texting Tom. And I guess,
she's still fixing it. She still refers to him as her husband.
As her husband, yeah.
And not her ex-husband.
Right.
Which she really should refer to him as ex-husband because divorces are expensive.
They are. And she's so getting paid.
He paid a lot of money for that
title. She's getting, she's getting alimony, which they reference. Where it's
I don't remember them referencing that in the book.
I don't either.
Because
so I just finished the book last night.
Gotcha.
Saw the movie on Friday, finished the book last night.
Yeah, I read the book about a year ago.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so she's a train wreck. No pun intended.
Yeah.
And then she drives by her ex-husband's house, who has now married the realtor, and now they have a child.
Yeah.
Which it just leads to even more depression. Is pretty much what it is.
Because in her mind, this woman, the new
stole
wife,
her family,
has the perfect life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They even have the baby. They're in the same house. Like, it's...
Yeah, there's actually a scene that I really enjoy where she's like... She's tying one on with who I thought was a friend initially, but then I was like, maybe
shows up again for the rest.
Well,
of the movie.
I have a feeling it was
just a lady she met at the bar, because she's sitting at the bar and the lady doesn't seem to know her. And she's just like, it seemed like she was a stranger.
They were drunk at a
drunk
bar.
Yeah. Just, or you know, one drunk and one gal who was like,
yeah,
happy
they were, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely like,
I'm just here for the pot stickers.
Yeah. So they go into this bathroom and she records this message, which I was like, if I had woken up the way she wakes up the next day, I would have immediately deleted that video.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I would have kept that on my phone.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's got the cloud.
That's true. That either way, but off my phone, where she kind of says, you know, and when I had seen this, I had not gotten to the part in the book where you realize what happened.
Right.
Right. So, well, like, this is all new.
While she's trying to avoid, but not successfully, and the whole point of her riding the train back and forth, like, you know, she has to go past her old life.
Right.
Twice a day.
Right.
And because of that, she's almost like, well, but fixated on this other house.
But here's what you find out, though. She doesn't have to. She doesn't have to go by.
But yeah. I mean, at first, you know, right, we know that, like, you know, we assume she's going to work.
Yeah.
Because right off the bat, I'm like, what does she do? Because what job does she have?
Yeah.
Don't they notice this? But, you know.
Surprise.
So twice a day, she goes, you know, past her old house. So because of that, I think part of her not wanting to look at that has become this fixation on this other couple.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when she sees that there's somebody else in this idyllic, her version of the idyllic couple with, you
now
know,
there's
with
somebody
the wife,
else who's not the husband.
She feels like this woman's ruining, she's throwing everything away.
Right.
And she's obviously very upset. And that's why she's like, you know, leaving nasty messages.
Well, like, yeah, she goes, she's in the bar and she kind of explains how she, I feel like she accidentally found the emails. Is that right? Like, she accidentally finds the emails from Tom to the realtor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was an accident. And then she realized that they were having an affair.
Yeah.
And then she kind of goes off. She's like, you know, if I were talking to her, I'd grab her by her pretty little head and I'd smash her head into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just takes, like, a real violent, ugly turn quickly.
That's incriminating.
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
So,
and we find out, and it's around this time that we find out that the girl,
Rachel,
the young one, the one down the way,
Megan,
is also
bat crazy.
Well, yeah, she's crazy. Women don't come off looking very good in this movie, especially considering the book's written by a woman.
Well, I think
with the exception of the wife.
Well,
the wife comes off all right.
Well, yeah, I mean, besides
that she was having an affair,
well, yeah,
but she was the other woman.
You know, but so we find out that Rachel's the nanny.
No, for Megan.
Megan is the nanny for Annie
and Tom
and
their new baby.
Basically the ex-husband.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's also, like, she's seeing this psychiatrist.
Dr. Red Herring.
Dr. Red Herring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paging Dr. Herring. Where, like, she starts getting into her character, mm-hmm, and you're just kind of like, okay, you're crazy.
Well,
she's damaged. How about that?
Right.
She's damaged.
There's this weird backstory about she, like, lived in a cabin.
Well,
for
there was
a year.
The brother first.
Yeah,
that they talk. I feel like they talk about more of the brother in the book.
Yeah.
She's and then there's the whole thing with the Mac. Like, she was dating this guy named Mac, and they had a baby. And she was young. And she was 17. Yeah, she fell asleep in a tub, and the baby was on her chest, and the baby slid off of her chest and died in the water. And it was like, that was, I was like, oh, well,
that
you are
terrible.
You are in trouble.
Yeah.
This is not going to end.
But
well,
I will
for
say that, like, the book had a way of making this stuff not sound ridiculous. Like, in the screen, it did not play like it did in the book.
The baby scene was a little out there. but it did not come off that way in the book. You were right.
Yeah, like because in the movie, it's like there's, you keep getting these kind of crazy reveals that keep kind of ramping up.
Yeah,
and then like that to where at some point you're like, this is too many confluence of events for them all to have these weird backstories that completely put them in these perfect, you know, storm. I was just like, I don't know. Like,
I see what you're saying.
And book, I was like, I enjoyed the book.
The book was very good.
Like, and I mean, it's not great literature, but it's classic.
It was fun.
Thriller kind of, you know.
It was a Gone Girl light.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and there's a whole, like, just spate of books now that have girl in the title.
Watch.
Yes.
Every year.
Yeah.
I guarantee you almost every, if not every year, every other year.
Well, I think next year we'll review some girl
It'll be the
titled
other,
movie.
The other Gillian?
Yeah. Gillian? I think it's Gillian.
Gillian Anderson. But she's got two other books out there.
Uh-huh.
Gillian Flynn.
I think one of them is going to HBO.
Flynn, yeah.
Flynn. And then the other one got made into a really Charlize Theron movie.
Well, and our theory was they tanked that movie so they could make a better one because Gone Girl took off. They made that movie kind of before Gone Girl became a thing. But, I think it started with like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and then you get all those, and then Gone Girl, and then there's like Girl Under the Eye. If you go on like Amazon, especially on the deal sites, there's like every day there's another book with like girl who did this or
They did another.
I think there's
Salander book, and it's awful.
Cruise ship one right now.
Yeah,
I think there's
it's called Speed 2.
I was really
like a missing person cruise ship.
So it gets very big.
It starts to turn into like
it's the Olivia Newton-John story.
These are like Columbos, but you know, for the female demographic.
Yeah.
It's very bait and switch, though. Like, I was really disappointed with the Goodbye Girl. I thought, this is not what I was sold.
You didn't think it was going to be the...
This is not what I was sold at all. Not at all.
You tricksters.
Yes.
You spinsters, you.
Spinsters?
So,
I spun the story.
Spinster is like an old unmarried woman.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like Aunt May is a...
Oh, yeah. Boy. Aunt May's married the books to J. Jonah Jameson's dad. Okay. That's a thing that happened. So
I'm surprised she's not in a love triangle with Gwen Stacy.
She's dead
for now.
What's the new one coming out? Dead No More. That's the new story. Everybody's coming back.
Anyway.
So we flash back to Rachel, and she wakes up, and she's busted up pretty good. She's got blood all over. Now, if I remember right in the book, she gets hit by a cab, right? Like
it's been a while since
she gets clipped by a cab. She goes to the doctor to get stitched up, and then he's like, "Hey, where's this other bump from?" And she's like, "I hit my head on a cab." And she's like, "No, you didn't." He's like, "Yeah, I did." Okay, fine. But there's a whole nother side story where she deals with this doctor.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
She's got bruises.
She's banged up pretty good.
Yes.
So she goes to the bathroom, and of course, Laura Prepon,
not as banged up as Megan.
That's true.
Tree.
Good Lord!
They like to go back to that one.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
Any chance they have to show her?
And that's. I'll just tell you right now. That's when I was like, "Oh, so that I know who it is," because when
when you only have six characters in the movie,
and you're not showing.
Well, I mean, and showed him. They showed.
It's like we obviously have to go with like the process of elimination. Don't show him,
right?
Well, it's got to be that person.
So they did show
because
the
they intentionally make a point not to. Yeah, but
and
you know.
So you just like in my head, I was like, okay, like we see the doctor on, like so as Rachel is driving by on a train, she sees
her version of it.
Right, her version.
We see her version.
It looks like she is in a loving embrace.
Yes.
After she's post coitus. A guy you later find out to be her therapist.
Right.
And a therapist that she is constantly.
Oh, she's
constantly.
She's macking on this guy the whole time.
Throwing the moves on the doctor.
But, you know, and he's. When we see story. He's
whose story?
The doctor
and Megan.
He's trying to maintain, and he's struggling with it.
Yeah,
you know,
but at the same time,
he's not
like
skeezy about
the way they've cut it.
Well, they cut
you
it.
You think that they are totally boning,
but we are watching. you know, at that Rachel's point, we should realize that where Rachel's point of view, it could be
skewed.
Skewed. Yeah. Like what she's seeing and what she's describing at this point has become, you know, she's unreliable.
Yeah. But, so she wakes up and she's all busted up. Yes. And it's funny, like, I'm not going
to
lie.
That's
funny to you? Yeah.
That she's all busted
up? I had a crush on Laura Prepon. From the get.
Since the 70s.
Easily the 70s. 77, I think, is when that show starts.
Yeah.
She looks exactly the same, just not a redhead anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't watched Orange is the New Black.
Right.
I know that's kind of sacrilegious.
She's an orange head on there.
Is that the way that works?
That's why it's called that.
Oh, that makes
sense.
And
then over time, her hair becomes black.
Oh, okay.
Ta-da. I mean, I'm trying to ruin the show for you.
Well, what's the point?
Pretty much what happens.
What is the point of watching that show now? Yeah,
so lesbian prison sex?
Apparently with Laura Prepon.
No, I mean, it's there, but she doesn't, she's not like...
Well, then what's the point?
No. She's like the one that was like, signed the no nudity clause.
Nope.
No. Yeah.
I'm the biggest name on this show,
right.
And I'm not going to get him out.
I'm not taking my cans out.
But she,
so she says, that's it. We're done. Like, I've had enough of your... Like, you are a mess. You were.
Yeah.
She's like, you were only supposed to be here for 2 months that turned into 2 years. You got to go. So, you know, she gets herself together. She gets all, you know, cleaned up. She goes back out. And I don't remember. We're led to believe that there have been interactions between Anne and Rachel that were less than okay.
Yes.
Where Rachel kind of gets off the train and goes into her old house, which she no longer lives in, picks up the baby, and like walks outside
and standing outside with the baby. And we also know about all the texts and
texts,
you know, that comes up a lot.
Well,
we
now
see,
here's the thing.
No, well, also
we are led to believe that it's Rachel.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Well, we know that there's a lot of incoming
calls and incoming texts. Now, from you get like a screenshot of Rachel's phone. Where it is Tom. Like, she's calling Tom. Like, all of her entire call log is Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she ends up tying one on pretty good, and she decides, I'm going to have a talk with Megan. So, this is the scene where she sees Megan running walking.
I mean, this is, like, where she starts to recollect why she's so...
messed up,
bloody,
right,
and banged up and bruised,
right,
and she tries to, you know,
so she's getting her memory back in bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, the news is breaking that Megan has gone missing.
Yes.
Then she's been missing for a day or so and nobody has any contact, so she starts to I can help the police, and like she goes to Luke Evans, who plays Megan's husband.
He plays alpha husband.
Yeah. And that's like, this dude, if they ever, red herring. Yeah. Big time.
He's a maroon herring.
Yeah.
Come on.
I was like, oh, alpha. So not him.
Right. Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
First off, it's like,
I ruled him out immediately.
Yeah, because he's too obvious.
Right.
He's angry.
It's funny how different, like, solving murder mysteries are from solving real crimes, because in real life, like, this guy's obvious, he did it.
I would put the evidence together and call it a day.
It would have to be frustrating to be like a homicide detective watching these things, because they're like, no, it's the obvious guy.
Yeah.
Like, don't overthink it.
It's always the obvious.
It's
guy.
The obvious. You're going to get one case in your entire career where it's not the obvious guy. Every other time is the obvious.
Oh yeah. I mean, 99 episodes out of 100 on Dateline, it's the husband.
Yeah.
It's always the husband.
I'm always excited when I tune in and a husband gets killed, because I'm like, oh,
yes,
I'm like, oh, thank God a wife did it for a change. You know,
I just watched one where
it's a lot easier to feel that way in my second
marriage. Yeah, right.
But
looking back on it, you're like, man, that could have been me.
Yes.
I just watched a Dateline where it wasn't the husband.
Really?
It was a boyfriend. But like, they had the boyfriend dead to rights.
Yeah.
And like, it turned out wasn't the boyfriend.
But I mean, 99 times out of 100, you watch that, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Knew it.
It was like that, the Amanda Knox documentary.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's fascinating. And it's like,
Making a Murderer?
No. So Amanda Knox is the woman that was in Italy.
Yes.
That got charged with the murder.
The nanny.
No, she was the roommate.
No, wait, I'm getting mixed up with what's the fancy word for nanny? Au pair. It was the au pair lady that like killed a baby. And
yeah, no, this is a, she was like an American who was in Italy and got caught up in some stuff. But that's also fascinating. The bits and pieces we're getting is like a confrontation under a tunnel, her getting Rachel getting hit and then waking up.
Yeah. So and there's also a guy.
There's two guys.
We've seen this guy, this like kind of ginger man.
What's another? Can we call
I'm just going to call him Ginger Man.
Mauve? Because we've already herring?
Well, and this guy is actually a
he's
redheaded.
A ginger herring.
He is, you know, so he's a ginger herring.
Has he been in something else? He looks familiar.
He looks familiar.
You know who he looks like is the comedian who was showing up in all that Judd Apatow stuff? I feel like he was like a doctor in Role Models. He was in The Hangover where he was like, in The Hangover 2... He's like one of those bit. That's who I thought he was, but it's not.
But we've seen him on the train. We've seen him like I think
behind
at the bar,
Rachel,
and then we see him like when she's having her flashbacks. We see him like running,
like oh man, it's this guy too. Like who was this guy?
You know,
Rosé herring.
And then and when they show herring. When they show him, I'm running. I'm like, okay, so not him either. Because it's like, no.
Yeah. I thought there was, so in my head, before
not
I had gotten
when,
to the
not
end.
Not in a movie like this, when you know that they want to have a reveal.
Right. I was thinking it was one of two people, and I was right.
Well, yeah, it was the one that they didn't show.
Right.
When they, you know, it was like, well, no, no, and no. Because we've seen everybody be so suspect.
Right.
Except for one person.
Exactly.
Who, you know.
Who is, who not is. Right.
At all, in any way.
Yes,
who's who does, presented and,
who's a
and
weird, a, it's a weird turn. And,
well, yeah, because throughout the movie, he's actually presented as a victim,
right? The entire time.
Yeah.
Well, now you keep saying he. I was trying to avoid that completely.
No, no, that's fine. I mean, it's, yeah, he's, it's not Rachel. I mean,
no, it's not Rachel. It's not, you know.
It would have been interesting if that
that's the way I
story
thought they
had
were.
Actually like she had actually done it.
Yeah,
but no.
So at this point, she comes home. And she realizes the police are there and they start questioning her and then they start revealing some information where it just kind of like, oh, maybe Rachel's not as, and I use the word stable, but maybe she's not as reliable as we are thinking.
Right.
Because this police officer has already talked to Tom and we're already getting more information about, so we get a scene of like her at a boss's Christmas party where she is like, getting pissed off about deviled eggs and she's throwing a plate and Tom accuses her of getting him fired.
Right.
You know, and you're just like, oh man,
oh,
she's
yeah,
a mess.
We see Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah. I figure out where I know this guy from.
Where?
Do you guys watch The Affair on Showtime?
No.
Oh, he's, has a reoccurring role on
there. Okay.
He owns the diner where they meet the two people that
who's
are
in that?
The affair.
Is that Emily Mortimer?
Oh, I forget. No. But it's the guy that played,
on the Wire?
McNulty
on the
Wire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dominic.
Yeah. And then
Dominic McNulty.
And then the brunette from News Radio.
Moira Tierney.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it's Alice from Luther. The guy who played his Joker.
Gotcha. I haven't seen watch Luther.
Dude, yeah. So good. Four seasons just got put on Netflix. It's fantastic.
Okay.
So we're starting to understand that maybe she's not as reliable as we thought. And she was already not reliable to begin with. So there's another scene where like she's swinging a golf club and she almost like Tom is on the defense. So you're led to believe that she is kind of a nasty drunk.
Right.
So, and then our story is progressing even further. And then there starts to build to a relation. So Rachel goes to visit Luke. I don't remember Luke Evans' name. She calls him James, like in her head, like the he calls her James, but it's not James. Anyway, he kind of says like she says like, look, I was friends with your wife. She was having an affair. You need to look at, you know, she was with a guy, and he shows her a picture of the doctor, and he's like, is this who it is? And she was like, maybe. And then she's trying to have like, you know, to remember. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes, that's him. So Luke Evans kind of points the finger at this guy.
Yeah.
And then this guy immediately does a 180 and is like, dude, no, this dude's fucking crazy. Like,
yeah, he's got some rage issues.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a, you know. Also,
which, I mean, we, you know.
If they ever recast an older Wolverine, this guy could be pretty good.
Well, you know, he is Gaston.
Is he?
Luke Evans is Gaston.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. He's also Dracula. In the Universal, whatever they want to call it. No. The shared universe of Universal Monsters. No. He's yeah, okay.
No. The look, shared look, universe.
It is.
No, it just sounds funny to say shared universe of Universal Monsters.
Look, like they're not. Bela Lugosi died, Dan. Move on. No. They can't get Christopher Lee either.
It can, well, you know. You haven't seen
I just watched that. I just watched Dracula 1972.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good little flick.
You know what? Honestly, I mean, one of my favorite, and he's not Dracula, but.
Gary Oldman.
No. God. He was in Princess Bride, and he was the voice, the speaking voice of Jack Skellington.
Oh.
In Fright Night. That the guy who plays Jerry Dandridge, the next door neighbor vampire.
Oh, he's the voice of Jack Skellington?
Yeah, that's the speaking voice.
The speaking voice.
But oh. he's like one of my
Fright Night's a good that's
he
yeah.
is a fantastic yeah. vampire.
That's he's a very good
you
vampire.
Know, and it, because they did what was right. It's like he's very seductive and very charming.
Yeah.
You know, and when you watch that movie you're like, "Oh, yeah." And Charlie's kind of a bitch. So.
Charlie is kind of did you ever see the remake of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was all right. It was like, did you ever see Disturbia?
Yes.
Yeah. It was like a weird
it was like a vampire version.
Yeah, it was just off.
It was off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she starts to strike up this relationship, and I feel like, and if I remember right, in the book, that it becomes a relationship. Like, I feel like they hook up, Rachel and the husband. I feel like they do.
I thought they did, too, but I asked my wife, because she's read the book, too,
yeah.
and I was like, did they do it? And she's like, no, they shared a bed together that one night.
I think they boned.
I
because my wife says they did.
Yeah.
And she just read it the beginning of February.
Yeah.
Or September. So I think
You just read it?
Yeah, but I'm like, my memory isn't the greatest.
But you just finished reading it last night.
Yeah, but I was way past that part. Like I was doing this at work.
Yeah.
Right? So just, like I'm coming
you
in
just
and out.
Read it last night.
I listened to it. So like I would pause it and then whatever. But yeah, they do. They totally hook up in the book. Which, they, you know what? That didn't need to happen in the movie.
It's implied in the... Like, it could go that way in the movie. Also, it's also implied though that, like, he's about to rail on her at any moment because they make him very... seem very unstable.
Right.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
And he does. I feel like in the book, the whole... So, it all comes down to Rachel comes home and he's...
There.
What has happened is, so since he has put the police onto the tail of the doctor...
that worked against him.
The doctor flipped it and was like, you need to check out him. Mm-hmm. Like, he was hacking into her email.
Yeah, the idea of, like, she's trying to, like, here's what I think's going on.
Right.
And every time she does, it just makes it look more like she did it. And she's trying to throw them off the trail.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what the detective says. She's like, you start... You don't remember you're missing like 4 hours of time.
Yeah,
you start a relationship with this missing woman's husband, and she's like, "I'm not in a
relationship." Just down the street from your,
just next door to your ex husband and his wife and their baby, who you've sort of kidnapped already.
Yeah,
so like, it's all piling up against Rachel. So finally, like, Luke Evans has had enough. Like, he has been questioned by the police. He's in the scene where it takes place in her apartment. I believe takes place in Luke Evans' house, where like he locks her in a bathroom.
Oh, and
like
in the book.
He's much more intense in the book about the whole thing, which is leading you down that path where he's like, oh, maybe he did do it.
Right.
And then they find Megan's body in the woods, where they kind of like where they see her. They flashback in the movie to her up against a tree.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, again, where you can't see the gentleman's face.
Yeah. This is where I guessed it.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, I mean,
if you're not showing me and you've shown me all the potential suspects but one.
Yeah.
Then it's the one.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, like in the movie, when they show you the doctor on the on the deck.
Yeah. It's just that like when you cast Justin Theroux in a movie.
Yeah.
You don't have him just be.
Is he ever a good guy?
I think he was in Mulholland Drive.
Okay. All right.
But you know what I mean? Like,
he was in that Wonderlust. No, was it Wonderlust?
Yeah,
where he's
Wonderlust.
In that?
Yeah.
Like, he was awful.
But I mean,
that.
You know, it's just, it's one of those things. It's like, he's more of a name and more of an established actor, and there's not a lot of meat on the bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
At first.
Right. 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 Yeah. And then he gets to do some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Right.
Sorry. I know I'm jumping.
But. Right. So now Rachel realizes she's missing all this time, and she decides, I need to get sober to try to gain back that time.
Well, she also thinks she is going to like kind of go back to like the scene.
Yeah, she's going to start to try to recreate what has happened.
She's packed up her crap.
I think
she thinks she most likely did do this.
And I think that, yes, you're right.
Is going to, you know, so she's like, she's leaving her friend's house, the you know, as a roommate, and saying, I'm sorry for leaving like this.
I'll come back for my stuff, or I'll send for my stuff.
You know, things, she's beginning to think, well, maybe I did this.
Right. So now she's started to go see the doctor in question, where she's like, she's trying to gain back, you know, the missing time, and they give all this, you know, so now she's put herself again, you know,
building her own case against herself.
Any of the cases that I've worked over the 11 years that I did my other job, you would be surprised how many people would put themselves at the crime scene but say they didn't commit the crime. I would say 99% of the people
I was there.
Yeah, I was there, but I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, stop it. Like, if you just don't put yourself there, just shut up.
Yeah.
So she's constantly putting herself.
I mean, I bumped into her, but I didn't.
This is good.
This is good information to have. Whack her in the head and bury her in the woods.
Don't say you were there.
Give me some other tips.
That's all I can give you.
Yeah. I was there.
Wear gloves. Then don't talk to the police. Yeah, so she's constantly putting herself behind the eight ball.
Yes.
As far as this investigation goes. It's almost like that HBO show, It Happened One Night.
Yeah.
Where he's constantly like making the wrong choices.
Yes.
And you want to punch him in the face.
The night of.
The night of, yeah.
Yeah.
So they found Megan's body. They say that she's been bludgeoned to death. That's pretty much what happens. And then, let me think.
And Rachel's having flashbacks of like,
she's starting to get more and more.
And she's having flashbacks like she accosted her. And
she's like, your wife hit me in the tunnel because I saw your car.
Yeah.
Like, your car is there. Like, I saw her close
like
the door.
Like, they had a fight.
Right.
Like, she
keeps
thinking, you know, well, she did have it out, even though she barely remembers it.
Right. Exactly. And then she kind of runs into...
Lisa Kudrow.
I was like, Phoebe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because, yeah.
Lisa Kudrow looked old.
Well...
It's been, and I haven't seen Lisa Kudrow in a long time.
It's been 20 years.
It has been 20 years. And I was like, oh, wow. All right.
But she, you know, we've seen like the scenario, like the big blow up at the office party with the deviled eggs, you know, because I was like, at this point, it was lunchtime and I was really hungry.
deviled eggs.
And I was like, oh, deviled eggs.
They're
like,
tasty.
Ooh, the girl with the deviled eggs.
Where's that movie? Been, yeah. Where's that gal walking around?
I'm so hungry right now.
Do they have that on this menu?
We see that scene, and then like how he almost got her fired, or
she got fired. Says, blah, like, blah, blah, blah. You got me fired.
So then, you know, she decides at this point, I think she feels like she's got to accept what
she's
been
making
doing.
Amends.
She's making
is
amends.
What she's doing, which is part of the 12 steps.
Yeah.
And she kind of says
she's not in the 12 steps. So no, she's making own steps.
No,
but,
she's it. I mean, they're making up this. She's jumping around in the steps.
Yeah, well, yeah. She goes once and jumps off.
Yeah.
But so she goes up to
she says, I want to say I'm sorry. I know I made an ass of myself. And she was like,
and then
what are you talking about? She's like, we felt sorry for you.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just like, what do you? And even she was like, I don't understand. She was like,
yeah,
you got sick. And like we went to lay down, and then
We see we see a new flashback,
right?
And it is 100% the opposite of what happened.
And Justin Theroux is the one who's livid, and you know, like yelling at her, pushing her down like outside, and being physical with her.
Abusive, and then he verbally abusive. And he even and she says, well, he got fired. She goes, but I got him fired. She's like, no, he got fired because he couldn't keep his pants.
Yeah. And like, at that point you were like,
hey.
That to me, that's the reveal where it's just like, oh
yeah, this guy isn't who we thought the whole time,
right?
Yeah.
So she like the other scene is like, it's Justin Theroux who swings the golf club. And like she says, she's like, he would just tell me what I did the night before, and I'd apologize for it.
I believe it because I was so drunk
and I don't remember. Yeah. And so he played it to his advantage.
Yeah. And that, like, and I looked, I know that we were talking before about how you don't need a reason for the drinking problem.
Right.
Because sometimes it just happens to people. But I always kind of read it as, like, he was the source of her drinking problem.
Yes.
Because,
well, because I think it was the combination of the whole thing.
We see him do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yes.
And,
yeah.
And that she, like, and that
he pushed it on her.
Yeah. He pushed it on her. And, like, and he was gaslighting her, which right. is yes. maddening.
Yeah.
Not that I would know. yeah. And so, like, I just think that she turned to drinking because of
yes. I think it was the combination. I was the combination of.
He was an intentional enabler.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, he was an enabler and. Every sense of the word.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I think it was a combination of, you know, the depression and not being able to have kids, and then right. having him, like, up in her face.
Oh, yeah.
Led to...
He was abusive. He was awful. He was violent. And unfortunately, she was so gone that she didn't...
No, that's a different girl.
Yes.
You're getting your girls mixed up.
She has no awareness of, like, what actually happened.
Right.
And then only had his version, which obviously wasn't... accurate.
Correct. So then she ends up having a flashback, and she remembers everything. She remembers going yeah. drunkenly walking down a ledge, yelling at Megan.
Oh, we don't even know if she actually yelled at her, though. See, that's the
other
thing.
I think she calls her a whore.
No, she calls her a whore, but we don't know that. I don't know that she ever even actually got the words out.
Oh.
Because Megan just, you know, heard this stumbling and turned around and then went back. Like, Megan didn't seem all that, you know...
Right. So, yeah, we get Luke Evans.
Because we should point out, you know, Megan was also pregnant.
Right. So Luke Evans reveals.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. Right. There's like so much.
Luke Evans reveals to her that she's pregnant. And this is where Luke Evans realizes that Rachel had nothing to do, like, did not know Megan, did not know, they were not friends, because this is something a friend would tell to another right. friend. So then we get the story with the baby, and then we get the scene that we see from Rachel's point of view. We get that from Megan's point of view, where she right. is
she tells the hug on the balcony,
right? And I'm not gonna, like, that kiss was a little,
I don't, well,
like, he kisses her, like, on the cheek.
It was a gentle kiss,
and but like hers, what, like hers, he, was more of
it,
like,
was a bit, yeah, like the doctor, he made the bad call. He's taking his therapy a little far.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He did go there.
And I'm not
going to...
He was having a difficult time.
He was struggling, and he was definitely leaning towards not struggling anymore.
Yes.
And it was a bad call, but he didn't have an affair with
her. No, he did not. It was just... It was a doctor-patient thing where, like...
Yeah, you know,
It
was too handsy. You know, especially with somebody who kept, you know, pulling her skirt up.
Yeah, I was just like, you should probably stop her from doing that.
Sit on the other side of the room. Yeah,
right. I'm just gonna. Can we do this session from a cold shower?
Yeah, or like, through like a window.
Right. Like, yeah. A confessional.
Yeah, like, because yeah, this one, like, the doctor made a bad call going
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
and, but you know, we see what really happened. Maybe.
And it turns out it was kind of innocent.
He needs to take a cold shower anyway, because he smells like herring.
That's true. This smells awful. So then we get...
He had his way.
Yes.
Ended up smelling like herring anyway.
No, I got it. I see what you're doing there.
Because of the fish.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what
we're doing. Okay.
And see. And see.
Because fish and...
And done. Well,
okay. Fish and...
Chips?
Yeah, fish and chips. Yeah, that's what we'll call them.
Okay.
Grab them by the old fish and chips.
It's what President Trump says.
Again. Biff Tannen. Back to the Future 2.
Not one.
You're the one that wanted me to get these.
Not one.
Things.
2.
Just think about it.
What if there's a weird alternate reality where...
And we're living
where
in
Melina
it.
Trump is like, she's actually just, you know, he accidentally killed Melina's original boyfriend that she was supposed to. Now we're living yeah. in alternate 2016.
It would explain it would so much.
Would, yeah. Marty, where are you, buddy? We need you. So now we get her, one of the things I always like about certain movies is I like seeing
the Rashomon.
What's that?
Rashomon is a movie where it's told from, like, the thing.
I love
four points
yes.
of view.
Yeah. And, like, each view is different.
Uh-huh.
Like, I dig that a lot.
Yeah. Check out Rashomon.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I just thought that was the name of the...
No.
Okay.
The device?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's... I think it was a Kurosawa movie.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
One of his... It was towards the end, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think... Well, I mean, he was...
I'm trying to remember.
I'm thinking of 150 when he died.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Ron. I think Ron
was towards
the
end.
Yeah, it was towards the end, yeah.
But it's that.
Okay. Yeah, so now we see her where she realizes that she doesn't hurt Megan, and all of a sudden Tom comes like a beeline and just beats the tar out of her.
Yeah.
Pushes her down, like hits her in the face.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know like why he went that weird way. Like that's the part I didn't understand, like why he went down that weird tunnel instead of just walking straight back. You know what I mean? Like he goes down like that, auxiliary tunnel.
Well, because he dragged her off to the side.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah, he was pulling her off into the woods.
Oh, okay, okay. And then
he hit her. I mean,
hit her pretty good. Her. Yeah,
yeah.
So this is where we also get the scene where she's in a bar and she sees the guy, the ginger herring.
Yeah,
where he's just kind of like, "Look, you were knocked." Like she's like, "You were there. Tell me exactly what you saw." And he was like, there were three guys that were kind of messing with you. Mm-hmm. I got them away. I tried to get you back on your feet. You told me to fuck off, so I fucked off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, that's his story.
That's his story. Like, and I feel like that's kind of what it was in the books. I don't think that they led you on to him. Who he was other than that.
Well, I think they did in the books want you to think for a while that...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but...
He was the random killer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or he was stalking whomever.
No.
So he gets back in the car and they take off. And then we see it again from Megan's point of view where she sees Rachel. She's like, hey, Rachel's down there. Because she knows who she is.
Yeah.
And then he goes and deals with it. Now we go into the... Now we're with Tom and Rachel, or Tom and Megan, and we get their story as to what has happened. So they go into the woods and Tom's like, yeah, I'm going to get you up against that tree. And she's like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And he's like, cool. And?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does this affect me?
Right, yeah. Right. And she was like, there's a chance it's yours. And he's like, well, then have an abortion. And of course, like, they've already given you the backstory as to the first baby, where the first baby was really the only true happiness that Megan ever felt.
She was young.
When she was young and she lost that. So she's obviously not getting rid of that baby.
No.
This is also another scene where Justin Theroux is able to do a little bit and he flips a switch and he just becomes cold and callous and literally stomps her face in.
Yeah.
Like hits her in the head, like pushes her, like she does not.
This is when we realize that no, he wasn't a bit player in this movie.
Right.
Yeah. And Dan was right.
She also, if I remember right in the book, she does not go on that whole diatribe about how you got tired of Rachel, so you decided to help, you know, have sex with Annie. You got tired of having sex with Annie, so you're having sex with me.
Yeah.
She's like, without these women, you're completely impotent.
Yeah.
So that whole scene was never in the book. They added that to give, and I don't think like
to add to his rage.
But like, why? You know what I mean? Like at that point, like she's pushing him, like pushes him down, and then he reacts.
Yeah.
You know? So but like, well, in my opinion, he becomes a worse villain if he just straight up attacks her. Because he doesn't want to deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need any motivation to attack her.
Well, he kind of triple kills her. He accidentally kills her, he thinks, because he pushes her.
He pushes her. And at first I was like, oh, not the he killed her accidentally. Like, this guy needs to be like...
He needs to be a killer.
Yeah.
And but then he stomps on her.
Right.
He crushes her face. Okay.
And then he goes to bury her, and then she's still not dead.
Yeah.
And then he grabs the rock. And so it's like, okay, well, he's killed her.
And then a marching band comes through and walks over.
Bring out your dead. So Rachel realizes what has happened, and she immediately goes to Anne.
Yeah.
And is just like, look, please, I'll stay over here. I know you're freaked out because of me, but... He killed her.
Well,
like,
and by this point, we also know that Annie has figured it out.
She hasn't.
Well, no.
Yeah, she has, because she found the phone.
Did she find the phone before the interaction?
She finds the phone, and she thinks it's his burner phone, and then it turns out
it's Megan's phone.
Yeah.
So that scene is, he says that, so in the book, and then he goes to the gym.
And then she figures out that, not all, but a lot of the unknown calls that she thought were Rachel are not really Megan.
Right.
Yeah. He was using
he was using Rachel as cover.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, like, that, so that scene in the book, that's, there are very few changes that they make, but this scene is like, he's going to the gym. He tells Annie that he's going to the gym.
Yeah.
But he leaves his gym bag. Okay. And he never comes back to get it.
Right.
And she ends up going through it, and that's where she finds the phone.
Right. Yeah, because I feel like in the book, then what happens in this final part is more conspiratorial between Rachel and...
I think it absolutely is.
And what's her face?
Annie?
Yeah. Annie. Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah. And well, they it doesn't... If it's happening in the film...
And they make it like that.
It's a lot more implied.
I think it happens in the last 5-10 minutes. I mean,
it's implied because they're, you know, when they have their stories, it was like... Right.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Seems so rehearsed. And the cops are like, this seems very... They say the exact same thing.
Yeah. They both have the exact same story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
She confronts Annie. And not in an aggressive way. She's like, you have to know that this is...
She's got some clarity here.
Yeah. And she's like, but I know that he's been cheating.
I will say I felt like the ending of the book worked better because there was this underlying tension of... Is Annie really going to go through with this?
I thought that there was enough tension.
I thought I kind of got it. Having not read the book, I thought, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, there's the whole scene where like she's dragging her.
Feels spurned enough.
Right.
That she's not going to let it slide. Like there was a moment I was like, I don't. Is there's she on board with. Because with Rachel. Rachel picked up, you know.
Rachel's tapped out.
Right.
You know, with having Rachel grabbing her child.
Right.
Yeah.
And that whole thing is like, ugh, you know. So I didn't know if Annie was too far anti-Rachel to like.
To come back.
To go back to Tom. Like, well, right. Between the two, you're like, well, I don't know.
There is that scene where I feel like he's dragging Rachel across the, and like Annie's standing at the top of the steps and not doing anything.
Yeah.
Where at that point I was like, oh man, she's not going to help at all.
Yeah. Because like he came home, he grabs
Annie, they go pulls inside, her into the house.
He tries to get Rachel to drink. And at this point, Annie's like seeing all this.
She's watching the whole thing.
Like trying to get her to drink up. Starting to see how their relationship, like she gets a peek into what their relationship really was.
Yeah, the dynamics of what that looked like. Yeah.
Then he grabs the baby.
That was a tough scene for me.
At that point, I'm like, okay, well, no. Now he's like, Annie's probably got to look at this like,
my child.
He grabs the baby in a way where you're like,
yeah, that scene where he grabs the baby.
If you're not convinced now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like initially he was all right. Like, you know, but she kind of takes him and then he grabs that baby by the arm and won't let go. And I was like, oh, no.
And I will say that was a really good moment for the actor because, like, that was a real baby he had.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood, take note.
That was not a Clint Eastwood baby. Okay. That was a real baby.
Yeah.
But he grabbed the baby in such a way that it was menacing, but from a film standpoint, from a real life standpoint,
he probably barely touched her.
He probably barely touched the baby. Yeah. On screen, it looked like, what is this guy doing to this baby?
Babies have pliable arms and legs.
And he Annie succeeds at getting the baby back. But at that point, you're like, all right, are you, this should have solved that.
We're all dead.
Yeah.
They're all going to die. So he knocks out Rachel.
Yeah.
Rachel comes to, and then they kind of, you know, they have it out.
She's
trying to get away. She gets out.
She grabs something.
Well, you don't really see
the fridge.
Oh, that's right. You do see her do that. That's right. She runs out back.
Yeah,
he's because chasing her. At this point also, Annie has tossed the phone. Like they have like this huge marsh.
Yeah, and then she just takes and chucks the phone where you're like,
oh no, no.
Well, like it was like a smoking gun.
But that's because, you know, he came home.
Yeah.
Right.
And she was in the middle of listening to the messages.
It was just the opening message. It was just the greeting message.
But it was
Megan's voice.
It was Megan's phone.
Right. So he kind of grabs Rachel and Rachel turns around and all like in the movie. The advantage you have is sound effects.
Right.
Right? So you hear the bottle opener go somewhere, but you don't really know where it went. I will say I saw this with a fantastic audience, and they responded exactly the way they should have. There was a dude behind me that was like, oh, he got stabbed. He's in trouble.
Yeah, because my crowd was sparse. I saw it like Thursday night, and there was maybe six people in the theater.
Same with me.
And so the crowd was very silent.
They reacted when they needed to react.
Yeah.
Like when the reveal happens, there was an audible gasp.
Right.
When Tom is stabbed, and then they reveal where he stabbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another audible gasp.
So I didn't, at that moment I was like,
well. And then, and then Rachel backs off where she,
He's like,
right. And then here comes Annie. And like the way they play this up in the movie, you're thinking like, oh man, like she's going to try to
save him.
She's like leaning over him. Yeah. And then you, again, sound effects.
Yeah.
Where she starts turning the corkscrew.
We cut around to a different point of view. Yeah. She's like,
well, initially what you hear is like the gurgle.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, he's dying. And then they pan that camera around and she's screwing that corkscrew deeper.
Yeah.
Guy behind me was like, oh no. Oh no. That's awful.
Yeah. This is going full on horror movie mode. But
this David Fincher.
The last 10, 15 minutes of the movie are really good. And I think
three fantastic actors.
Yeah.
Kill that performance.
And I think that like if people like give it a good cinema score on the way out, it's gonna be because the last 10 or 15 minutes it's off to the races. It just takes it so long.
It did take a little bit long. And then they kind of go through the True Grit ending where you get
the interviews.
And Rachel are both given their interviews and it's exactly the same. And then you get Rachel's like epilogue where she goes to see the voiceover narration, where she kind of says, she's getting her life back together. She
rides a different train.
She rides a different
metaphor.
Train. Her and Annie.
She's a lesbian now. Is that what that means? Yes. She rides a different train?
I think that's what that means. Yeah. Her and Annie are obviously connected, but they have nothing to do with each other. Like they're connected in this weird triangle.
Which I was like, oh good, they didn't try to like True Detective season two this where they're all like
hey, we're buddies now,
they're best friends and they're gonna raise the baby together.
Who were best friends?
I didn't make it to the end of season two.
It was a piece of shit.
I was so bored.
It
was Vince Vaughn's wife and Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, and they're best friends and they're gonna raise the baby together.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, oh good, don't do that.
Who's baby
was that? So I made the right call to bail.
Yeah,
see, Dan, you never bail on a show. I bail, and I look at all. That's time I could spend watching something else.
Well, yeah,
I'm so far behind in my binge watching. I'm doing The Wire.
Yeah,
not even joking.
No, you made the right call because now they're putting that in 1080p.
Yeah, it already is. Yeah,
it looks way better.
Yeah,
and
they cropped it too. They reframed it so it fits 16:9, which normally I'm against. But having never really watched the original, it's not noticeable. Like when you watch old Friends episodes, and they've matted it, like it looks awful.
Yeah,
and sometimes when they go in for the super tight close up, and like it, and then they still got to mask it. It's like really, I'm like, do I need to go to the eye doctor?
Yeah, like Star Trek Next Generation was shot 16:9, but then masked. 4:4:3, but and everybody's like, well, they need to release it that way. It's like, no, because we knew that, and so you like see like somebody holding
you'll
the
boom
see
the mic
boom
over here.
Yeah. So it's like, yes, and we're shot 16:9, but they didn't plan on using these things on the sides, which is why they're
I
not
wonder gonna. Though, as popular as that show is, like I wonder if at some point they'll go through
and fix it
and like CGI out that stuff so you can have a true 16.
They've
by
CGI'd some of the effects,
right?
So like if you watch that very very first episode, that's like, whoa, that's much better.
Yeah.
Because the first couple seasons were a little bit rough on the effects. But yeah, so I mean, at that point, once we see them corroborating each other's stories, which was almost like the same version of the story.
Right.
And even the cops were like, well.
Was that Allison Janney?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She's always, she's a go-to.
Yeah.
You know, but she's great because you can tell she's kind of like,
what?
Well, he did it, so we're going to leave it at
this. The entire time you could tell she was like, I don't even care. I've been dealing with this case for like 4 months. I don't care anymore. And then she is
Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive.
She is. Yeah, you're right. Not U.S. She Marshals.
Just, no. She's like she's not,
No, she's just what? She's done. She's not 3 weeks away from retirement, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's how it kind of ends. And I think, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was a little bit too long. I thought it was maybe 15, 20 minutes too long. I think it probably would have benefited from being maybe an hour and 45 rather than a straight two.
Right.
Obviously, I'm a huge David Fincher fan. Blake stole my favorite director once from me, right from underneath me. So, like, that was kind of an issue that I took with it, where it was a David Fincher light.
yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I think the actors carried that movie. I think, again, Emily Blunt is fantastic. I think that gal is probably one of the better actors of this current generation. She makes the right choices as far as like delivering lines and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she pretty much flick. Take it's
her movie
performance that I think makes the movie work when it does work.
Yep.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
And I was like, it's kind of like a Lifetime movie, just better.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it was still, it was more or less like a Lifetime movie.
It was. Yeah.
But
like I said, it wasn't bad. I will not say it's bad by any stretch of the imagination. Go watch Gone Girl. That's really my recommendation. If you like the book, you'll like the movie.
The book's not as good as the book Gone Girl
either.
It definitely, it benefited from the fact that it had the right title, and it was the right genre. Like it, you know, and it, again, not take away from it, it's not a bad book, but it's not Gone Girl. The book isn't Gone Girl either.
No. And and you know what? Neither one of those are Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You know? Like that's where this started, and I, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go watch that. Either a David Fincher movie. Go watch the original one.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic little, I don't recommend the uncut version because they are long. It was a TV series in Sweden originally. Yes. So like the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is
quite a bit more.
Is two parts.
Yeah.
Like every one of those is like a two part thing. So it's very long. But
if you like the book,
I think that the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Gone Girl, and then this are all in the same vein. I think if you like any of them, you'll like this one as well.
Yeah. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
I do.
I didn't spoil it.
No.
Hooray!
No, this one, I'm referring to my notes because I'm like, this is from 1986, and it's directed by Sidney Lumet, who we always talk about. Is just like, he's one of those ones who I don't think had a style, but unless you count quality.
Right.
Because all of his movies have been pretty stellar. And it's a movie called The Morning After. This is one of the, you know, one of those movies where Jane Fonda basically plays an alcoholic, and she wakes up one morning and the person next to her in bed, who we don't know at first who it is dead.
Oh.
And she's blacked out and she doesn't know what's going on, and it's sort of like the story about how she's trying to piece it together. I don't really want to give it away, and I honestly haven't seen it recently enough that I want to dwell into or dive into, you know, the plot too much. Jeff Bridges is in it. Raul Julia is in it. And this is another one of those movies.
Does Jeff Bridges do his weird voice?
No. This is Jeff Bridges and Jane Fonda, like, both at a time when they were starting to be taken more seriously as actors for both of them. And they're both really, really good in this movie. And this was a movie when it came out, like, you know, it's around the time like Author and stuff like that. Like there wasn't, you know, I think maybe The Verdict might have come out.
Yeah, that's a good.
There wasn't a lot of movies that were like, you know, the unhappy side of alcoholism. And this is one where you're like, what
was the Nicolas Cage one? Was it
Leaving Las Vegas?
That's early 90s. Okay. Yeah.
You would have had, what was that Meryl Streep, Jack Nicholson movie?
Oh, Ironweed. Yeah.
That was kind of the unhappy.
Or Barfly.
Barfly with McGee. Yeah.
You're
right. There wasn't a lot.
Not anywhere it was like, but those are, I mean, it's interesting. Those are like immersed straight into like bar culture.
Right. Yeah. It's totally.
Like,
it's
they're like full blown alcoholics.
It's over the top wino alcohol. Yeah, like, it's not like jokey college movies
where we're getting drunk and having fun.
Not jokey, but the absolute worst case scenario of what alcoholism looks like. Not, they were already kind of like loser drunks.
Right.
They weren't like people that had jobs
and
careers.
Like Otis, from Mayberry.
Yeah.
Right on.
And this is it's very similar. You know, she tries to piece together what happened, and you know, while also potentially, you know, running the risk of being arrested for murder. So if you haven't seen it, I don't even know if it's available on streaming, but it was the first one I was like, yes. It was one of the ones I was like, yeah, that reminds me a lot of that movie. I think maybe people just don't remember it. It's 86.
I think she has screwed herself. Like, I think anything with her in it kind of gets forgotten because of she ran her mouth however long ago that was.
Yeah, but I would disagree, because she had big hit movies yeah. after that.
Did she?
Oh, yeah. I mean, On Golden Pond, Nine to Five was the second highest grossing movie of the year it came out. It came out the year of Empire Strikes Back. Wrap your head around
that's an interesting point.
Like,
yeah,
that, stellar.
That movie was.
Was that based on her or was it based on the movie itself?
I think it's everything.
It's everything. Okay. But if she was the problem,
yeah, it wouldn't have made money. That's true.
People would have just stayed. Yeah, away.
And the Newsroom. I mean, the short run that it had, she was great on that on HBO.
Is she on that?
Yes, she's like executive.
That's so weird. I always get to that scene that they always cut. Like, you know, the scene that they always show with Jeff Bridges where he goes off.
No, Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels, not Jeff Bridges. I'm so sick of seeing
that on Facebook.
Everybody
like thinks that they're the first person to discover this HBO show. Stop it.
I get it.
It's a well-written scene. It's a well-performed scene. Like, I get why it resonates with you.
There was a whole, like, two seasons of that show. You might want to dive into.
But Ned Beatty has a really good scene in Network.
Yes, he does. I don't need
to keep sharing it on Facebook.
Right.
It's 35 years old.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like 40.
If you like Aaron Sorkin,
yeah.
Like, that's exactly what you'll get.
Totally. Yeah. So, it's a 30-year-old movie, but it's very prevalent to what we're talking about here, so we're checking out.
Give it a look.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it for this episode, and I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. That's real with two E's. We also have a website, realspoilers.com, and you can go to iTunes, rate, review. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. And don't forget, while you're at the iTunes, you know, we've done 223 of these things. So, like, if there's a movie that came out in the last 4 or 5 years, there's a good chance we did an episode on it. And so, like, you can go find that and catch up. Like, if you avoided it or if you just discovered the show or, you know, like, they're out there.
Yeah. I think our anniversary episodes are Gravity.
Yeah.
And Gone Girl.
Yeah. So there's a huge catalog of stuff out there.
You can even try, you know, if you want to just go broad. Go with one of our theme episodes. We have a handful of those.
There's absolutely tons of them out there. So we even broke it up into chunks so you don't have to sit through a box office report to get to the movie anymore. Yeah. So that's been a year and a half of that, I guess.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all there. I think next week is probably the Ben Affleck movie, The Accountant.
Yeah.
So looking
forward to that too.
I am.
Because you're a big fan of Accountant.
A huge fan of accounting.
He loves it. I mean, his favorite part of the Oscars is the Price Waterhouse guys.
He's like, come on. Here they come.
Oh,
come on, you guys. Love that briefcase.
Yeah.
What's
in
briefcase
there?
Are you, like, people are like, what are you wearing? He's like, ooh, what briefcase are you wearing this year?
Oh, good, a Samsonite.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we'll be tackling next week. And until next time, Amy Dunn is alive. Sorry, Chris Sanders.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.